I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that works at Tab and comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. Usually the first hour has got the best shot of open line, 1-800-966-WTIC, 860-522-9842. So, you know, technology, right? We always talk about technology news and how we use technology in our lives. And Tab Computer Systems a while back gave all of its employees Fitbits. Right, Bob?
Yes, I have one.
Yep, me too. And, you know, I got to drop about 25 pounds, so I started to really work on my Fitbitting again, and I've got my Fitbit going. And you've noticed it, Bob, right? My steps are starting
to
move.
Yeah, we have a team, if you will, a Tab team.
Yeah.
And those of us that are still in it, because at one time we had over 30 people, I think, that was in it. Now it's kind of dwindled down to, I think, about a dozen or so.
Yeah. So you notice, you know, my steps are moving along.
Yeah.
And so it's great. So, you know, I'm trying to lose some weight, and you know, we've already talked about the fact that Fitbits do a very bad job of really calculating calories, but they track your steps, right? So
correct.
I'm out there, you know, working in the yard. I got my Fitbit on, and I'm cranking along, getting my steps, and I get about 9,500 steps on one of these days, which is great. I'm shooting for 10,000 steps. And I said, all right, fine. You know, I did a good job. I'm going to go in and enjoy some Red Sox baseball, you know? So I sit down in front of the TV. And my son recently turned 18, and of course, in our house, we don't have birthday cake. We do ice cream cake in our house, right? Because that's really the only thing to do is an ice cream cake. Birthday cake, who wants a cake out of a box, right?
You go cake's down a little dry,
yeah.
Especially the white cake.
Yeah, you go to Praline's and get a nice cake. And so I'm sitting there, you know, enjoying some of my son's birthday cake, sitting on the couch, literally. Now, your Fitbit, right, can't be on your dominant hand, right? So my Fitbit's on my left hand. So I'm sitting there with my ice cream bowl. I've done my 9,500 steps. I'm all proud of myself. Watching the Red Sox, and I'm eating some ice cream. And lo and behold, magically, my Fitbit goes crazy. Somehow I got to 10,000 steps sitting on my butt eating ice cream. I said to myself, well, what kind of feedback is that? That's some crazy feedback.
Mine usually says time for more steps.
Right, right. Well, so I said, oh, that must be a fluke. So, you know. A couple days go along, and occasionally I like a glass of wine when I'm watching the Red Sox, especially when they're losing, right? So, again.
Drowned your sorrows.
Exactly. So, I've got my Fitbit on my non-dominant hand, which happens to be my drinking hand, right? The left hand. If I'm drinking with the right hand, you know, no, left hand, you're holding a glass of wine, enjoying your... You got to have the clicker in the right hand and the wine in the left hand.
So, you're ambidextrous.
Exactly. This stupid thing goes off again. I get to 10,000 steps drinking a glass of wine. One glass of wine. Imagine how many... How many pours you'd have to make to get 10,000 steps? I mean, my hand's not shaking like I'm, you know, like a leaf or anything like that. So there's something wrong, guys, with your Fitbit going off while your butt is in a couch watching the Red Sox. That's all I'm saying. There's a flaw in this technology.
Well, I want to tell you, since we started, I did lose 25 pounds.
Yes, you did.
And counting.
You're doing fine. I'm hoping to do the same thing. Clearly, I can't lose weight eating ice cream sitting on my butt, but that's my own problem. But it shouldn't be rewarding me, should it? It shouldn't be buzzing saying, hey, nice job, buddy. Yeah, right. In other news, so we talk about the cloud and how it dissipates. The cloud is where people are putting your data, and it's a company called CrashPlan, which we do see every now and again out there in our practice. CrashPlan is a backup system where you can send your data off-site, and they had a consumer version of backup that they've decided they're no longer doing anymore. This is the problem with the cloud. You put your stuff up there. You could be a client of CrashPlan for years, and you've got all your data protected, you thought. And they're saying, well, you know what? We're not doing any of your backups. Good luck. And you got a few months to get rid of it. Or you can pay the business grade cost to have us back up your data. So literally these cloud companies can change the rules on you at the drop of a hat. So it used to be $60 a year for CrashPlan, and now they're going to go to the business grade one, which is more than double the cost. And if you like it, go ahead and pay for it. Otherwise, get your stuff off their cloud because it's going to go away if you don't. So keep this kind of thing in mind when you're thinking about the cloud. You really have no control over your ability to react when the cloud dissipates and says, I am no longer doing this service. Good luck. Goodbye. And of course, everybody and their brother who has the stuff in that service has to rush to get their stuff off that service as it decides to go away. So in this case, you got until October to get rid of it. Good luck. And we'll see what happens. But keep this in mind when you're dealing with the cloud. Anything you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got a stack of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
This one article I thought was pretty good. Identity fraud hits epidemic levels.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fraudsters are increasingly using your details to apply for loans and spend your money.
Right.
They're opening accounts in your name. No longer, or not, no
and this
longer,
doesn't include,
a lot less.
This doesn't include the bank there, Wells Fargo, who is doing it for you.
Oh, no.
No, that's a whole other issue.
So anyway, it's up over 5% over last year so far.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
With over 89,000 identity frauds have been recorded in 2017 so far.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 5% over last year. The number of cases of fraudsters trying to target Brits bank accounts or plastic cards have fallen. In other words, they're not trying to get your credit card numbers anymore so that they can steal you. At least it's not as much. What they're trying to do is open new accounts in your name without your knowing about it.
Right, which is the most effective way that to do it. Right?
You know, this identity fraud is really easy to catch. And, you know, unfortunately, if you do any research on it, most police departments say that there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't even investigate it. And, you know, these fraudsters know that.
Right.
So, but when I had my identity stolen, I found out who it was.
Right.
You know, through my research.
Right.
And if I can do it, I don't do it for a living.
No, right.
And some police departments should be able to do it.
Right.
Anyway.
So it's a bigger problem these days.
We'll put up a link to that article. And
Brit, so is that a British article?
I believe it is. It's on CNET, but, you know, it certainly looks like it comes from there. Of course, you know, CNET reports from all over the world. So.
Right. All right, other news. You might have a Samsung Smart TV, but they just did an update. And here's the headline. Nasty firmware update butchers Samsung TV so bad they have to be repaired. So they are bricking TVs with their firmware updates. So you got to be careful. And the word bricking means you've turned something that was useful into a brick. And your firmware updates, so you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If you don't do the updates, your systems could be, you know, compromised
vulnerable.
But I mean, these updates are ridiculous. Anytime I want to watch like Netflix on my Samsung TV, it wants to do an update, right? And it could take 20 minutes for this silly update. So
that's why I use a PC and not a smart TV.
Right. It's just crazy. But I mean, you shouldn't. I mean, obviously, you could always pass on the update. But being a geek, I'm conditioned to say okay. So before you know it, I'm asleep in the update.
I like
done.
The new Windows 10 thing. It says, "Do you want to do this update?" And I say, "Remind me tomorrow, every day."
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. So be careful with this new update that's out there from Samsung. It could damage your smart TV, so you may want to pass on the latest one. We'll put a link up there for you. They actually list a few of the 50-inch TVs that have been affected by it, so be careful. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I've got one here that parents might like. Mm-hmm. We were talking off air, and you know your children are getting a little older now, and my children are all gone. I'm an empty nester, but
yeah.
Toyota Safe and Sound app threatens teen drivers with parents' music.
I love it.
And so this is pretty cool. It's an app that you can install on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when they're driving, it works with the Toyota.
Right.
Okay. If they get over the speed limit or they go out of their designated range of area that you've submitted.
Right.
What it does is it turns off their music selection.
Right.
And it plays what you've programmed for them.
A little Sinatra, right? So,
yeah, or maybe a little waltz or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know your children well enough to know what music that they really can't stand.
Right. So anything you're listening to.
If they want to listen to their music, they got to do the speed limit and stay where they're supposed to be.
It's a geofence of some kind.
Yes.
Interesting.
I thought that was pretty cool. To me, it would be more effective than anything else.
Right.
Their friends aren't going to like listening to their parents' music.
No. Well, you got to love technology for helping us out. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. We have four lines wide open. It's 9 o'clock hour, definitely the time for you guys to get online. I know it's gorgeous outside and you're outside doing something, but if you want to talk to us about any of your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We've got two lines open for you now. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Has your Fitbit given you some false feedback or false positive or not quite the feedback you should be getting?
Is your Fitbit giving you fits?
Yeah. Is it telling you to go keep eating that ice cream there, Eric? Enjoy. It's not really supposed to work that way. I was shocked the first time it happened.
My wife offers me ice cream now all the time.
Nice.
And
she's
I
a good
turn
wife.
It down. She is.
You and turn it down.
I turn it down.
Wow.
Because I'm trying to continue my progress of losing weight.
Yeah. Wow.
I've got a ways to go. I'm only halfway there.
Well, that's a good wife, though. Hey, would you like some ice cream, honey? I wish my wife did that. I just get it up and get it myself. That's part of the problem. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joanne in Windsor Locks first. Hey, Joanne.
Hi. I have a message from OpenDNS.
Yes.
That says I have an address mismatch.
Yeah.
I went to the Learn More, but I didn't understand it.
So you're connected to the internet via what something called it's a non-static IP, okay? Your internet address when you get connected is variable, right? It's going to move around and change. And so when you configured OpenDNS, you had an IP address of X, and now when you've connected today, that address has changed. And so you can download a little tool, a little client from OpenDNS. It's called an IP updater. And
okay.
If you go to their website, you'll see the IP updater. And what it'll do is it'll notice that Joanne from Windsor Locks' IP address has changed, but you still want the same protections you've configured, right? And
yeah.
So what it'll do is it'll report back to itself and say, hey, Joanne's IP address is now this. And so it's called, I think it's called an IP updater part of OpenDNS. You just download that onto a computer, and it's pretty easy to set up. Not a big deal.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The key for OpenDNS is that you can set up filtering configurations. So you can say you want certain types of traffic to pass to you or not to pass to you. So you can protect your kids from porn and all the nasty stuff out there using this filtering system. But if your IP address changes, then those things really can't be applied because they don't know.
I've got a link I can give Mike to post for the where to get the IP
updater. All right, good.
For OpenDNS.
And we'll put it out there for you at computertalkwithtab.com. Let's go on to your calls. Three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Our resident groupie Danny's on the line. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
My Samsung tablet.
Yes.
I'll send an email, and it'll come back failed email, you know, failed transmission.
Yeah.
And it's because the Wi-Fi, even though the icon is on, apparently the Wi-Fi is not working. So what I do, I have to go to settings, turn it off, and turn it back on.
Yeah.
Is there a way, is there something wrong or something? Is it just a signal? I mean, it doesn't seem like it used to do that before.
It should auto-connect. You should have a setting in there on your Wi-Fi to auto-connect.
Yeah.
But every now and again, devices do need to be reset. So it's not unusual to do what you're doing, but it happens every now and again. You could have also brought you have another Wi-Fi signal in range that you could be connecting to?
Well, I have my older tablet.
But no, another signal,
No other signal. I mean,
okay.
Just the same way it's always been.
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon. It could just be a minor issue happening with your Wi-Fi and just turning it off and back on again. Also, power cycling your devices is a good idea every now and again.
Yeah.
I bet you that thing's never power cycled, right?
What's power cycled mean?
Turn off and turn on.
Oh, no.
That's right. It's always on.
No, I don't turn it off and turn it on.
Yeah.
Well, I turn it off, but I don't put it off.
Right. Definitely a good idea to turn it off.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got one of those Microsoft calls.
Oh, yeah.
But this one was, they left a message.
Oh, jeez.
It was a new one. A woman's voice spoke good English.
Yep.
She said, "This is an urgent call. Your Microsoft license has expired."
Oh, boy.
"It's very dangerous. Please call this 800 number." And they left an 800 number.
That very dangerous? They actually said it was dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. That's sad, man.
Yeah.
That's sad. Thanks for letting everybody know, though, to be vigilant. These guys are all fraudsters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it really sounded like a legitimate 800, you know, message.
Yeah.
The pronunciation and everything wasn't
sure.
From wherever.
They probably recorded somebody, and now they're using it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But the key is, Microsoft doesn't know your address and your phone number.
Right.
Right.
Well, they probably do know it, but they wouldn't call you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dan.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to take a break for the news. Everything we talk about is posted at the old-fashioned website, computertalkwithtab.com. You can also follow us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, and this will go into your news feed. And then you can go ahead and follow us on the old Twitter, the new thing that our president loves so much, at I think it's Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Speaking of walking this way, you want to fight climate change? Don't invest in Tesla. We've talked about this before, how the manufacturer of CO2 batteries is definitely a dirty business. I'm not CO2. It's lithium batteries is a dirty business. Market Watch had a thing from Morgan Stanley. Now, Morgan Stanley is working on their little green beret as well. And you've heard of other companies divesting of quote-unquote fossil fuels. You've heard of all the colleges out there that they're taking their billions in their trust funds and divesting in any kind of industry that might be a little dirty. Well, Morgan Stanley does something about this as well. Morgan Stanley being, you know, such a lovely green company themselves. They've identified 39 stocks that generate at least half their revenue, quote, from the provision of solutions to climate change, right? These are stocks that are trying to help the planet. And they have not listed Tesla. It's nice to have a Tesla car, but it's not helping you when it comes to your green beret. So they talked about this in the article, and I'll put it up there for you. But Morgan Stanley calculated that an investment of $1 million in Canadian solar results in nearly 15,300 metric tons of carbon dioxide being saved every year. Hooray! But for Tesla, such an investment adds nearly one-third of a metric ton of CO2. So... I'll put this article up here. This is a Morgan Stanley. This is not some evil oil company writing this article. This is an evil investment bank writing the article about what if you want to have a conscience when you're trying to earn your fortunes, which of those are the greenest investments? Morgan Stanley will tell you, and Tesla is not one of them. So I'll put a link up there for you. Hey, Tesla's got a great product. No one's saying they don't, but it's up there for you. I have some other Tesla news I'm going to bring up because they're working on their Model 3 that is supposed to be there for the masses, right, Bob?
Yeah, it's what's supposed to be like $35,000.
Yeah, do you know what you get for $35,000? You don't even get power seats.
A bicycle?
You don't even get power seats, but we'll go into that in a minute. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Springfield next. Morning, Tom.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I got a 5-year-old PC running Windows 10.
Yep.
And you talked about snoozing the updates.
Yeah.
a couple months back when that new update came out, I went ahead and I went through it, and what it did is it froze my computer at 87%.
Yeah, the creator's update?
The creator's update. That's the one, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tried it again, and in the end, to make a long story short, what I had to do was I had to hard boot it twice, and I went back, and thankfully, didn't brick my computer, as you were talking about.
Yeah.
It actually went back and reinstalled the prior update.
Oh, good. So it held you back. Yeah, good.
And then, so I waited a couple months, and then I said, what the heck, maybe they got it fixed. And last week I tried the same thing and same result. So what should I do? Am I basically out of luck because my computer's too old, or do I wait another couple months and try it? Maybe they got it fixed again?
Well, so, Tom, this machine was not Windows 10 when you bought it. What level of operating system was it, Windows 7?
7, yeah.
Yeah, and you took advantage of that quote-unquote free upgrade, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so this is what Microsoft has been doing lately to a lot of folks like you. They have somehow, on these new versions of Windows 10, decided they're not going to worry too much about compatibility. Remember, if you recall, when these updates were offered to everybody, folks were really having big problems with their updates because some of their machines were not fully Windows 10 ready to go. And in your case, you were able to go, but now there's some component on your system that is not compatible with the new flavor of Windows 10. But the point of Windows 10 was to produce this ubiquitous configuration that was supposed to work with everything, but it doesn't. So I wouldn't hold your breath that you're going to be able to get this new update. I also wouldn't necessarily concern you that you have to have it either. You know, you're
right. The only thing I was thinking was that there might be some security thing that I would really want in the end.
And that is a good concern. It's a fair concern. But just waiting, you know, you've got some sort of incompatibility where it gets to a point either in your drive or your controller or your motherboard, something critical that is causing it to freeze, hard freeze on this update that you're not compatible with now. And I don't think there'll ever be a workaround for it. I mean, maybe someday the update will work, but I highly doubt it. I think you're just going to have to be stuck. Now, at 5 years old, you've had a good run with your machine. If you get about six years out. So, you know, if you really are concerned about security, you can consider a new box as a way to get around that. But I think you're going to be stuck.
Hey, thanks a lot for the information. I appreciate it. I'll do exactly what you say.
All right, Tom. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This whole Windows 10 update thing is becoming a bit of a mess. We've got a call from Bill in Willimantic who has update issues as well. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. Yeah, I've got the same. I took the latest update from Windows and it pretty much bricked my computer.
Oh, it did brick your computer. What were you running before?
A Windows 10.
Windows 10.
Whatever the latest update was.
Yeah.
But that's not my question. I actually have my computer back up.
Good.
But one of the things I had to do is reinstall Office 2016, which seems to be running okay except for Outlook. I can't seem to set up my email account. Now, I've got my email account working on my phone, and I have Spectrum for a cable company, and I've been on the phone a couple of times with them, so I know all my settings are correct, my ports are correct, but every time I press the set account settings button, it says log on to incoming
mail server
and just sits there and spins.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's any, and the only other thing I did was I kind of Googled it all.
Yeah.
And so I shut off all the add-ins in Outlook in case that was potentially an issue.
Right, good idea.
So,
do you have any other mail accounts you can test besides that one?
I only have the one.
What about setting up a Google account just to...
Yeah, I could do that and try that, I suppose.
Yeah, here's what you want. You're trying to figure out whether it's the account or some sort of block happening on your firewall, maybe, blocking the communications to the ports that you need to talk to on those servers.
It worked in the past until I got the latest upgrade of Windows.
Yeah. All I'm thinking is there's some sort of firewall block on the port that you need to communicate on the mail, but you can prove that out if you get a different mailbox and just put the settings in for maybe...
Try that. I could maybe set up a Gmail account or something like that.
Yeah, you already know your settings are correct because you're using the same settings on your phone.
Right. Yeah, because like I said, I've been on the phone with Spectrum twice now.
Yeah, and they have no ideas.
No. They're of course contact Microsoft.
Yeah, I know. Any other thoughts, Bob? Any other things that you've come across?
Well, the only thing I could say is to delete your profile and recreate it.
Well, he is. It's brand new.
I could definitely try that.
Yeah, but you're starting fresh anyways, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I mean, you could try that, but I mean, you're already kind of brand new, fresh.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be smart. And you know,
well, the only other thing I got is I did save off my PST file from a backup.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, could that potentially be an issue?
No, you should be able to have your saved PST and eat it too.
You can always connect to that PST later.
Right.
But yeah, well, that's what I figured.
Creating a new one, if there's any corruption in that, creating a new one would create the new one. You could still access the old one. You just wouldn't get the mail that it's in areas that got corrupt.
Right.
Right.
It's definitely worth a try. It's probably you. You know the mail.
I'll try setting up another mail account and see what happens.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
You got it, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Yep.
Have
bye-bye.
A good day. Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I was talking a little bit about the Tesla Model 3 coming out, right? So, recently, Tesla sold $1.8 billion worth of junk bonds to try to fund this new Model 3. And The Verge has a story. So, there's a lot of folks who have plunked down a grand to hold their spot with this Model 3. And it's been marketed as, you know, the electric car for the masses. But The Verge breaks down the story. Is basically the headline is, let me get to the headline here for you. Tesla's Model 3 isn't a luxury car, but it's priced like one. And what they kind of talk about is the fact that you start at 35 grand, but with that 35 grand, you know, the seats aren't even powered. You don't get the autopilot part of the Tesla experience. It's only a 200-mile range on that car as well. So if you want some of the things to make it more real as far as why you would buy something like a Tesla, you're going to find yourself upwards nearly of $60,000. Now, all of a sudden, it's back to that luxury range. So they talk about, you know, if you want to get the 300-mile range as far as the Tesla, you got to plunk down $9,000 more. Now, in the Model S, I've read that they do a similar thing where if you want to get a better range, you got to plunk down some more money. But basically, that's using crippleware. Tesla basically still sticks the same size battery in your car in the less ranged Model S. But if you want to actually take advantage of the battery you're lugging around, you got to give them more money, and then they turn on a switch that says, oh, okay, you
like
can
use like an extra $10,000
yeah.
for a firmware update.
Exactly. Crippleware.
Okay. But they eliminated that model.
Because they just figured everyone was going to the bigger model anyways.
Right.
If you have the money to buy a $70,000, $80,000 car, you're going to spend the money.
Right.
They did the same thing here with the Model 3. If you want the 300-mile range, you got to plunk down $9,000 more. So before you know it, that $35,000 car for everybody is a $60,000 vehicle. And again, it's really not going to be for the masses, per se.
The production of the batteries emits a lot of carbon, and you posted a link to that article. Mm-hmm. But I gave you another article there that says the electricity used to charge your car may not be as green as you think.
Well, Morgan Stanley's article talked about that.
Right.
The fact that because you have to charge your battery, you know, you're using gas, you're using natural gas, you're using coal, you're using all sorts of things. And that's what Morgan Stanley's point was. If you really want to be eco-friendly, you're not investing in a Tesla. You're investing in other things like solar or what have you. To their point, you actually produce more CO2. So, hey, again, go ahead and get it. But what bothers me the most about this whole Tesla thing is a $7,500 subsidy that you and I give people who can afford $100,000 vehicles. It is not; it's just not cool to ask your friends and neighbors to subsidize your purchase of a car like that. You know, it's like,
well, most of the solar industry, I believe, is getting government subsidies.
They are too, yes.
So otherwise,
but it's a little different. At least the solar industry has a little bit of a benefit to everybody.
But it may not
subsidizing your $100,000 car doesn't quite seem like
it might not be an economically viable industry
if it
wasn't getting money from the government, which we all pay for.
Yeah, that is true too. But take a look at this article about the Model 3, and you know, it's coming out. It's going to be available, and there's supposedly 500,000 folks who have put money down to buy one of these things. So if you're ready to drop 35 grand on something that you have a manual seat with, It's kind of interesting.
340,000 pre-orders they have for that, I think.
Or even more. I think it's 500,000. We're going to step out for a quick break into your calls. Four lines open. This 9 o'clock hour is the best time to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Hey, if you're looking to get a Model 3, I mean, if after all these taxes in Connecticut, you can still afford a Model 3. If you're looking to get a Model 3, feel free to get online and let me know what you're excited about. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I know it's a beautiful Saturday morning, but both Bob and I are in here trying to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And feel free to get online. You want to bring up any news as we wait for our calls?
Yeah, have you ever wanted to learn a foreign language?
Yeah, sure. I used to take French in college.
Well, this one's a little different.
Yeah?
It's a device you can purchase.
Uh-huh.
It's an elephant translator that turns human language into pachyderm talk.
Really? They're selling bridges too?
No.
Oh.
But it says, how do you say I'm hungry in elephant?
Uh-huh.
It sounds a bit like a squeak combined with a grunt.
Okay.
You too can learn a bit about speaking elephant in the Hello Elephant Translation website from the David Shedrick Wildlife Trust.
Really?
It's an organization dedicated to elephant conservation in Kenya. The organization is known for elephant rescue and rehabilitation program, which has hand-raised over 150 orphaned baby elephants.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's right here.
We can't even figure out how to speak to women. Now we can talk to elephants?
It's probably easier.
Well, yeah, when you really can't confirm it. There you go.
The translator accepts voice, text, or an emoji. You can
an emoji.
Yeah.
So it'll translate your frowny face into elephant.
Yeah. Your best bet.
What about
is
actually
to use
using
simple
your face?
Phrases or words like "I'm happy" or "Let's party."
What?
They think you should do a song like "Party with an Elephant."
Yeah. So wait a minute. So this is at a zoo or a reserve of some kind?
Yeah, well, it's a organization that actually rescues orphaned baby elephants.
Hmm.
So over the years, they've been able to study their sounds and their actions, and they talk to each other.
Yes.
And they've been able to put this together, and so you can actually find out what it does. But the human vocal cords may have a problem reproducing those sounds.
Yeah. So Google Translator is not enough here.
So, you can walk like an Egyptian or talk like an elephant.
Oh, man. All right, Bob.
We'll put on a link to that article.
Ah, technology. Let's go on to your calls. You guys are nice to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Tom in Harwington. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Not so great.
Oh, no. That's why you called, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't call to say hi.
No?
Okay. So, tell me, what the heck has happened with Firefox? There was an update last week. I waited about a week before I did it. It's version 55.0.2, and in parentheses it says 32-bit.
Okay.
Now, I got a Windows 7 64-bit OS.
Right.
And certain things, and I notice right now there's an update for 55.0.3. I haven't done that yet. But when I go into my email and I open an email, my page down, page up, home, and end buttons used to work. They don't work anymore. And that's one problem.
Yep.
Another problem is it seems like things that are now flagged as legacy add-ons don't work with this version. And I've tried to find a 64-bit version of this. It won't even exist. I can't find it. I use Adblock, or not Adblock. I use Thumbnail Zoom.
Yep.
And it allows me, I'll Google dancing dog gifs.
All right, I'm not judging, sorry.
Okay, well, I Google other things, but I'm using this as an example.
Yeah, sorry.
And I go into, well, I don't Google it, I use Yahoo. And then I go into images and I hover over them, and most of the time the gifs will function. And I
see
what they do. And then I can copy and paste them and post them somewhere where I want to.
Yeah.
Now,
Hey, so, Tom, I'm coming against the heartbreak. Can you continue further? We're going to do some research while we wait for you, okay? Hang on, all right?
Hey, very good.
All right. He's got his issues with his dancing dog gifts on Firefox. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.